T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Want to tell everybody again, at 6:30 tonight, LSU baseballs. They play the Southeastern Lions, and so you can hear that game right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. A little after 5:20 this afternoon, Wilson Alexander does a great job covering the LSU Tigers for the Advocate Times-Picayune. And Charlie, I knew this was happening after what I saw last year. But the NFL is going to play 2 games on Christmas on a Wednesday this year. The plan is for the 4 teams playing on that Wednesday, Christmas Day, to also be part of a doubleheader the previous Saturday. So it will be like a Thursday kind of run with it up into the game. And so like the weekend leading up to Christmas, those 4 teams would play on a Saturday on a doubleheader, and I guess they'll kind of switch the opponents on that particular deal. Man, that's a tough haul. It goes to show, for all this talk about, man, we worried about safety and everything else, it's about a cash register ringing in the background. They saw the ratings that they got off this year's Christmas games, and I wondered how they would do it on a Wednesday, because it sort of kind of messes up the schedule in the midweek. But playing – having those 4 teams play the Saturday in the doubleheader gives them the same time off if you'd be playing a Sunday to a Thursday.
That's interesting, Mike, because that Saturday, I think they're scheduled 3 of those first 4 college football playoff games the Saturday before Christmas.
And it don't matter to them.
I mean, that's just straight up competition. That doesn't matter. Like, no. The NFL is going to force their way, obviously, to be playing that Saturday before Christmas Day, and they want to play on Christmas Day.
One way or another.
But that's interesting to think about. It's the new 12-team college football playoff. Like, their first round, I think, is scheduled that Friday and Saturday. The first game on Friday and then 3 games on that Saturday. But obviously, as you're saying, the NFL is going to have a doubleheader there too, so where they can play on Christmas Day. But it makes sense. I mean, the NFL has been putting a bunch of games on Christmas the last few years.
I grew up, NFL didn't play on Christmas Day.
It was the NBA.
Now, Charlie, I'm old enough, you don't remember this, but they used to have the blue-gray college all-star game. That was the only football game played on Christmas Day. And then they sort of handed it over to the NBA. And I think, you know, the executives are, wait. Let's just do this trial run for Christmas, and let's see what happens here. And then, bang, hey, with the ratings they got, we going back to it. The hard part would have been on a Wednesday to do it. But then they've come up with this plan that the 4 teams that will play on Christmas Day, the weekend before that, will play doubleheader games. And so the same amount of time you'd have off. Man, that's still rough, though, late in the year to be playing that. And again, this is about money.
Oh, yeah.
Cash money. You hear that cash register ringing in the background for the NFL, and that's why they king today. And they're not afraid to go up against a college football situation.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, it's interesting that they're on the same day. Yeah. The NFL is going to win out. They win out every year. They crushed the NBA in Christmas Day ratings just this past year. And they'll do it the same probably with college football that weekend before.
So you got to do like me, Charlie, have them 3 TVs in the living room.
Yeah, there you go. You got to keep up with everything at once, huh?
Yeah, right. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike and Charlie. Hey, look, listen, this is not a political statement. Tying this into sports, I know LaToya Cantrell is kind of a polarizing figure in the city, but I got to give her credit, Mike and Charlie. She tweeted this morning. She said, look, the city's got to get on board with the Pelicans. We got 3 games starting tonight. and three games against arguably the best three teams in the NBA. Tonight we got OKC in New Orleans. We got the Giannis and the Bucks Thursday night. And then Saturday, Easter Eve, we got an early game against the Celtics, all three at home. And tickets tonight, Mike, tickets tonight are going for $8, okay? I mean, again, we're doing – look, we're in the fourth seed now. We've won without Brandon Ingram the last two games. You know, people thought, oh, here we go again. Zion's taking the team on his back.
Hey, you got to give him credit, Jimmy. You know, a lot of people, you can rag on him maybe for the missing time and maybe not being in the greatest of shape in certain years. But, man, has he taken over. And you saw it in front of your very eyes.
It was a historic game against the Pistons. I mean, it wasn't a great game against the Heat. They still won that game, though, and that's all that matters. That's all that Zion cares about, as long as they're winning games. And, you know, CJ McCollum has stepped up as well as scoring output ever since B.I. went down. He needs to do that. Trey Murphy's the ultimate X factor offensively for this team. If he's hitting threes, their offense is rolling. And then Herb Jones and the campaign for him.
Not on Herb for
first-team All-NBA defensive player.
He's played great.
He's been fantastic. He's arguably the MVP of the team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the Pelicans, the six-game home stretch that we've talked a little bit about yesterday, Mike, and we'll probably talk a little bit more today about it. 6-5 to reach 50 wins over their final 11 games. But this six-game homestand, I would be okay with 3-3. I really would.
When you look at that schedule,
the Thunder,
I can understand.
You're 1-1 against the Thunder this year. The one game you beat them, you had Zion available. The one game you didn't, you got blown out. So you're looking for revenge there. And then back-to-back games against the two top teams in the Eastern Conference with the Bucks and the Celtics. The Celtics, they just lost their 9-game winning streak in embarrassing fashion. They blew like a 30-point lead to the Hawks. That was out of nowhere.
I don't see how that happened. But again,
you can maybe split those games, but that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. If you can split those games against the Bucks and the Celtics, you're feeling good. Then you have a gigantic game against the Suns. And Mike, you and I were texting about this last night. The Suns lost the Wembanyama-less Spurs. And if you're looking at the Suns' schedule, and I'll bring this up later on in the show, Mike, because I think it's really interesting. The chase
don't
of the
they
Pelicans
look like an old man team.
The Pelicans kind right now are the four seed, as Jimmy had mentioned. Yeah. But if you can stay out of the 7 spot, that's all you're looking to do.
Yeah.
And so you have a couple teams below you. You're right there with the Clippers. The Clippers can overtake you. That's fine, as long as you stay at the 6 at the very worst. So to stay at least at the 6, you need two of these three teams to hop you. There's the Kings, who are currently the 6 seed, the Mavericks, who are currently the 7, and the Suns, who are currently the 8. And once again, I'll get into their schedules. The Suns, I am no longer worried about. Let's just say that, Mike. They lost to the Spurs, and their schedule is brutal. I'll just give it to you right now. At the Nuggets, at the Thunder, at the Pelicans, versus the Cavs, versus the Timberwolves, versus the Pelicans, versus the Clippers. At the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Timberwolves. Those are all playoff teams.
Man, you don't have a breather in any of that.
In those 10 games, the Suns would be lucky to go 5-5. And if they go 5-5.
Really lucky, Charlie. I'm talking about really lucky to go 5-5.
And if they go 5-5, you don't need to worry about it. Unless the Pelicans completely collapse and they go like 3-8 in these next 11 games. All you need to do to reach 50 wins is go 6-5. Meanwhile, the Suns, who are 42-30, the Mavericks, who are 42-29, the Kings, who are 42-29, they all need to go 8-3 or 8-2. The Pelicans are in the driver's seat to avoid that play-in tournament, and that's all I want to see.
And the good news, too, we heard about Dyson Daniels in the G League. He'll be playing with Birmingham, getting himself ready for that stretch and hopefully get him back for playoff time, maybe even a little bit before, but to get him back in that time frame where he can help. We're still waiting, you know, definitive word on Brandon Ingram on exactly when he is going to come back. We know it'll probably be a couple weeks before he comes back. But the good news is Dyson Daniels playing in the G League.
Reinforcement on the way, Mike.
Yeah,
and once again, you have the 4 seed now. You feel good about that. But even if you lose the 4 seed, because you really do have a tough stretch coming up, maybe the Clippers keep playing bad basketball. That's a possibility. But even if you lose the 4 seed, as long as you get a 5 or a 6, you're still in the playoffs. You don't have to deal with the play-in tournament likely the Suns are probably going to be the 8 or the 7 seed. And then you have to maybe deal with the Lakers and the Warriors at the 9 and the 10. So as long as you get the top 6 seed and the Pelicans, once again, 6-5 to reach 50 wins, that almost guarantees you missing that nonsense.
And it's funny about with Zion, okay, when things have kind of gotten because of what the injury to Brandon Ingram, and you don't have Dyson Daniels, him stepping up. This is the guy you wanted to see probably year one. He wasn't quite ready to handle all that pressure and everything else. And now you can see him. I think they have figured out, you know what, to keep him in shape, play him.
He gets into playing shape that way. I mean, that's how it is.
And that's the way it's always been with him. I even heard Coach K talk about it in the past about it. So when we come back, we'll have Wilson Alexander, who covers the LSU Tigers for the Advocate Times-Picayune, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in. Trade in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, he covers the LSU Fighting Tigers for the Advocate Times-Picayune, Wilson Alexander. Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
This afternoon, and I guess maybe about an hour ago, it broke that LSU got a commitment from Gio Paez, who played at Wisconsin, defensive end. A California kid, so to speak. He went to high school in the California area and then signed up with Wisconsin. He's played defensive end. But, Wilson, I got a feeling they've told Gio, hey, guess what? You're playing defensive tackle here at LSU.
That's absolutely right. You know, LSU, talking to sources, envisions him as a defensive tackle. This is a guy who's 6'3". 310 pounds was listed at that on Wisconsin's roster next season. And obviously LSU's need is not at defensive end. It's at defensive tackle. It's those guys in the interior. And Gio, because of his body type, can probably, you know, slide over and do that. And LSU certainly believes that he can. And so that's what they envision him doing when he gets here. And as for LSU, a team that we know is going to be looking in that transfer portal when that opens up again in late April, a team that's going to be looking for defensive tackles, this is the first one who they've added through the portal. He's going to be this is a scholarship guy, and is that first sort of addition to this position group that, you know, needs those kinds of guys. Going to need some transfers to build up some depth there, try to add some experience and some, you know, ideally some playmakers here during that second portal window after not being able to retain guys. Yeah, they're going to continue to look for some, and this is the first one.
Yeah, Wilson, they definitely need it in the middle. Man, that's a major concern for me when you look at this team as they leading up to the summer, that you're going to have to get a couple more guys transfer portal-wise. Defensively, we had some new faces making some plays in the practice sessions, and especially edge people. And you know what? I feel much better today than I did a year ago at this time about the secondary. I don't know if you feel that way, but I think that they've added some good pieces to the puzzle here in the secondary. And you might have found you an edge rusher.
Yeah, you know, I also feel better about what they've got going on in the secondary because there's some continuity year over year. You're not, for the second straight year in a row, counting on a whole bunch of transfers to pan out. Obviously, it worked okay in year one and year two. It very much did not. And now you're able to build a little bit of continuity. You know, first team corners out there, Ashton Sampson, JV and Toviano, those are guys that LSU signed, has been developing, and have had a year under their belts now within the program, now going into, you know, I guess for Toviano, his second full spring, and for Stamps, his first spring. And so, or maybe, I'm getting that mixed up if he was an early enrollee or not, but that's beside the point. You know, these are guys who've been in the program, and you're starting to build a little bit of depth there, too. You know, there's some numbers, at least. Do we know if this cornerback room is going to be immensely improved? No, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case, but it is going to at least have some guys who've been in the program. And now, as LSU continues to recruit under Corey Raymond, ideally can be able to get those big-time recruits in there that they had been missing the last few years in order to fully rebuild this room over the next, you know, it's going to take a little bit here. It's not just going to happen in a year. But they've got, like I said, some guys who are in the program, and that's this spring, not even including Zy Alexander as he comes off an ACL injury. So he's expected to be back for summer workouts and possibly, you know, full go by the time preseason camp starts. And so then, you know, that's helpful. And then at safety, with Major Burns moving down to the star position, which puts him closer to the box, you got Jarden Gilbert at one safety spot, kind of the replacement for Andre Sam, a guy who started, you know, a bunch of Texas A&M 2 years ago. And then, you know, Sage Ryan back at his natural position after getting moved around so much. We saw him make three interceptions at practice on Saturday. And so maybe he's settling in to, you know, that spot that he was, you know, originally going to play during his career. Play some nickel, play some corner, but maybe safety is where he can finally flourish. We'll have to see. He just looks a little bit more comfortable and confident. You know, it wasn't necessarily perfect all practice, but when you make three interceptions, you got a good day. And on the edge spot there, you know, they've got some talent there. It's probably when you look at the defensive line, certainly compared to tackle, it's the position you feel best about. You know, Savion Jones needs to take a big step here. Paris Chan, though, is somebody who could maybe, you know, split some reps with him at that big defensive end spot. The way else he's going to have it this year, we're still kind of finding out exactly how this works, but they've now got two defensive ends listed on there instead of a Jack Backer like they did last year. That's what Blake Baker's defense had at Missouri, but it was like one big end and one smaller end who is more of the size of LSU's Jack Backers, which are Braden Swinson and Deshaun Womack. And LSU certainly got some guys who were highly recruited at that Jack Backer spot, starting with Womack. And so we'll see how that all continues to pan out. But at least at that edge spot and at corner and at safety, you feel like you've got some players in the program who have been in the program a little bit, instead of having to go through the transfer portal to find guys like they did the last couple seasons.
Wilson, I think on offense, it's not going to look the same because your quarterback's not going to run for 1,100 yards. And so you're going to have to make that up with your running game. But, man, the strength of this team, if you look at talent and depth, it's your offensive line. And, man, what Brad's been able to do to recruit, man, you see him coming in. It looks like in droves you get offensive linemen. And I know that had been the one spot Coach O and his staff, they could not do well with in grabbing big offensive linemen, talented offensive linemen. So my thing is, how different is it going to look running the football? Because I think even though Brian has always been running back by committee, you got a stud there in Caleb, okay? And Josh is going to see his touches. I get that. But, man, you got a guy in Caleb. You got to hand the football to, but – up front, offensive line, in the trenches, that is the strength of this team, I think, across the board. If you had one area to pick out of and say that's where you have the most talent, most depth, offensive line.
The run game is going to look completely different. From all the things that stand out to people come the opener against USC, that will probably be the most obvious. At practice on Saturday, you know, they were running play, you know, toss plays, having Garrett Nussmeyer go under center and then, you know, play action rollout, which is, of course, building off of a run game. It looks different. You know, not as much of the inside zone. You know, that'll still be part of the offense, but they're going to be dipping much further into the playbook to try to diversify this run game. And it starts with the offensive line. It is in many ways to highlight the offensive line. When you've got Will Campbell and Emory Jones coming back for their third season starting at tackle, Garrett Dellinger and Miles Frazier back at, you know, starting at either guard spot, and a, you know, first time starter in DJ Chester, but someone they're really confident in at center, that is absolutely the strength of this team. When at every, you know, offense or defense, it's the offensive line that is the strongest point on this roster. It's got talent, it's got depth, it's got experience, and they want to highlight that, like I said. And as I mean, you know, with Will Campbell and Emory Jones, those are guys who are, I mean, all these guys really, but you know, you think about those two, how athletic they are. I mean, they're going to be pulling,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have pulling tackles, getting out on the perimeter and setting up blocks. You know, we've seen LSU through the first part of spring camp here, working on a lot of, you know, wide receiver screens and tunnel screens, things that were not part of the offense the last 2 years. But once again, you know, that's offensive linemen pulling and getting out on the edge and setting up blocks to help try to spring some of these receivers. Chris Hilton was talking about how much he loves that play today. That's somebody who you get the ball in space, you know, you let him use his speed. Maybe that works. But again, it all goes back to the offensive line, getting those guys out on, you know, letting them run a little bit and really set up these blocks. And in the run game, again, it's going to look completely different from what people have seen the last 2 years with Jaden Daniels, inside zone and zone read. they might still run that some, but it's not going to be pretty much the play that LSU uses exclusively.
Wilson, one of the things when you were talking, it popped in my mind. This offense is going to look a lot like what Joe Sloan, I'm talking about, new offensive coordinator, what he did at Louisiana Tech. They ran a lot of wide receiver screens and a lot of flare passes out in the backfield to the running back. And I think we haven't seen a lot of that at LSU. I think you're going to see much more of that now. And that's the change with Dimbrock and Joe. I think Joe ran a lot of that at Tech, and I think he's incorporating that with the talent that he's got here at LSU.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be the case. You know, I didn't know that about sort of his tendencies at Louisiana Tech and running that Holtz offense that he did there for a little bit. But that's certainly something that we've seen is, you know, getting the wide receivers the ball pretty quickly in space. You know, they had their quarterbacks working today on just getting the ball out of their hand, you know, really fast out to the perimeter. And even doing some sort of plays where, like, Garrett Nussmeier was kind of doing like a sprint out. He had an option to throw the ball in the flat or use his legs a little bit. That was something they ran on, like, just on air on the goal line. And it is sort of seemingly getting the wide receivers the ball in space quickly and letting them try to go make plays. Obviously, you know, this isn't to say that LSU's not going to have this, a potent vertical passing game, but it is an element of the offense that looks different, and that's something that seems to be coming with Joe Sloan, and as he tries to kind of maximize his personnel and implement what he wants to do offensively to a degree.
Wilson, circling back around to what Mike was talking about with Caleb Jackson, I think that this is going to be a huge year for him, and based off of what we've been seeing from spring football, I mean, it looks like the strength of the team is the offensive line, and the weakness is obviously the interior of the defensive line. But at the same time, what Caleb Jackson's doing, it's been fantastic so far. I think it's showing off how good that O-line is and how much that D-line needs to improve as well, though.
It is. I mean, and that's the case, you know, spring practice and preseason camp, it's always, okay, well, somebody looked really good, but does that mean that the other part is really bad? Like last year with one-on-one between the receivers and the corners. Oh, the receivers are incredible, but oh, God, with the corners. And it ended up being true on both sides. The receivers were amazing and the corners struggled. But then that's kind of what you're dealing with here. You know, LSU's offensive line, they believe is going to be one of the best in the country. They really believe that, and that's why they're trying to highlight it so much. They had some absolutely dominant moments in the run game on Saturday's practice in particular, especially early on, where they're opening up big holes, and these, you know, Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson are ripping off, you know, 15, even sometimes longer than that sorts of gains where they're not even getting touched. Like, that's happening. But, you know, is that a reflection on the offensive line, the defensive line? Like most things, it's probably a little bit of both. And we know LSU's defensive line has got to get better. It's got to get deeper. It's got to get more experienced. And, you know, they're going up against a unit, certainly in the offensive line, that there's that old saying, iron sharpens iron. Like, that's definitely a benefit in some ways there for the defensive line going up against that group. What does it say long term about the defensive line? It's hard to say, though. But I think it does certainly emphasize that the offensive line is going to be a good unit. But I think because we already saw it be a good unit last year. You know, when you already had a year where they were a Joe Moore Award finalist, you feel pretty good about that group. And then behind them, you know, those running backs are making some plays. Mike mentioned, you know, running back by committee earlier. Certainly LSU will still divvy up those carries, but they're not going to have as big of a committee anyway. You've only got now four scholarship running backs on the roster, and Trey Holly, of course, has his legal issues. And is not with the team right now. And so it's not going to be as big of a committee, regardless. So there won't be as many carries to spread around.
Far cry from what it was like seven last year, I think.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
And it was almost like you were trying to juggle it almost per team, how the team looked at your opponent. And that's how you were playing a little bit. Wilson, last question for you. And if I'm Blake Baker, I'm not showing anybody too much about what I'm going to do with Harold Perkins because I think he becomes the X factor. I do know one thing about Blake. He knows how to coach linebackers. He does a damn good job of it. And from what you've been able to see, I think you're going to see a lot more movement with Harold Perkins moving around the field where teams can't kind of – diagnose exactly where he's going to be to try to scheme him out.
You know, we haven't seen it that happen. We haven't seen that come to fruition yet in camp. We've only had the one fully open practice, and really what they were doing with Harold wasn't like a main takeaway. It wasn't obvious. And like you said, they probably won't really show
it.
But that was the belief going into last year when they put him at inside linebacker. It was exactly what you were saying. I heard that pretty much verbatim from Brian Kelly, that they were going, you know, the whole idea here was to make him more versatile, make it harder to scheme up against him because you don't know where he's going to be. Obviously, it didn't pan out. But now what we have seen with Blake working with Harold the most on is just like linebacker fundamentals and just getting better at playing inside linebacker. Because if he can get to a point where he can, I mean, Blake has been really hands-on with him. And if he can get to a point where he's able to play the position the way he needs to in order to be able to stick there, and Ellis, and he's not sort of a liability in some ways like he was against Florida State last year and just getting taken out of the plays and all those things, you know, then he can get moved around and they can really maximize what he can do at inside linebacker. But at this point in the spring, we haven't seen that, but I think it may be because at this point in the spring, they're just working on that fundamental stuff, getting him used to that position, which obviously didn't happen the first time around when they tried this last year, but it's going to be essential if it's going to pan out this time.
Yeah, and I'm not showing nobody anything, okay? Spring game, no spring game. I'm not showing anybody anything what I'm going to do with Harold. I'm going to let that let USC try to figure that out in game one. Wilson, thanks so much for coming on with us this afternoon. Really appreciate it, buddy. You take care.
Thanks for the time, y'all. Have a good one.
All righty. Wilson Alexander does a fantastic job covering the LSU Tigers for the Advocate Times-Picayune. We come back, triple option. Myself, Charlie Long, Steve Geller, talking about the top stories in sports today right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Steve and I are talking about cooking and eating, so that was the laugh. It's our triple option section that we do each and every day. So, Steve, are you joining us so you get to go first?
Yeah, talking about dinner, getting hungry already for sure. Looking at the win totals for the NFL, which came out recently, the New Orleans Saints, gentlemen, are projected at 7.5. Last season, they were 9.5, finished with 9 wins on the year.
So that's close.
I mean, you look at the rest.
You know what shocked me?
The rest of the division, right?
Atlanta at 10.5.
Here I got them at 11.5.
Oh wow! Okay, because Bob and I were talking about
this. A bit way too high.
I think it started at 10. Like overnight, it goes to 10.5. If you got 11, man, it's hard to win 11 games in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. Especially for a team, you got a whole new makeover at quarterback. Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
You know
what?
Like,
come on, he's not that big of an upgrade.
The next team. You're going to have.
Oh, Tampa Bay? 8.5 wins for Tampa.
Give me the over.
You're taking the over on them. And Carolina, 4.5 in the division. Last year, they were 7.5, only had 2.
That's not too good. But, man, everybody counts out Tampa Bay every year.
Right, for sure.
Every year. Oh, Tom Brady's not there. And, you know, they're going to fall. And look what Baker did. And they got a young defense and have quietly retooled that roster very, very well. Man, I give them a lot of credit there. Now, again, we'll see it because they're trying to rebuild mostly through the draft. But, okay, you got Rashad White at running back, who's really good. You re-signed Mike Evans. You got Baker at the quarterback. You got a lot of young pieces on the defensive side of the football. Now, their secondary is matzah at best. But, man, they got a front seven that's young, talented, and they can run the field. And they brought back Levante for one more year.
Yeah, and I know Saints fans obviously not happy with the odds makers here projecting 7.5.
No, that didn't surprise
for the black and gold. I thought it'd be definitely higher than that. I wasn't expecting double digits.
I thought it might be 8.
Yeah, I was hovering around 8 for myself,
yeah,
too.
I told it to Bob. I think it'll be 8 and it goes 7.5. So, you know, but last year, you know, it was close. 9.5 and 9. That's,
right.
That's really
well,
close.
Hopefully we're getting over this year, gentlemen, for sure.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going to put on my crystal ball hat.
Again?
Uh-oh.
Discuss the Pelicans' path to avoid the play-in tournament. Kind of circling back around to what we talked about in that first segment there with Jimmy there, Mike. 6-5 in the Pelicans' final 11 games. And we got someone that texted in that like 3-3 on this homestand would be mediocre.
You want to talk to him,
Look who they're playing. Look who they're playing. They're playing the number 2 seed in the West, the Thunder, tonight. And then they have back-to-back games against the best 2 teams in the Eastern Conference, in the Bucks and the Celtics. Then you have the Suns, who are a very talented bunch, a Magic team, but that's sneakily coming up on that 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, guys, that also smoked you last week. And then the Spurs, who just took down the Suns team. So, once again, 3-3 is all I'm asking for. And then if you go 3-2 in your final 5 games, you enter the postseason with a 50-win mark. And that may not get you the 4 seed. You're at the 4 seed right now. You're tied with the Clippers. All you have to do is stay in front of 2 of the following 3 teams. The Kings, who are currently the 6th seed, they're with a 42-29 record. They're 2 games back of the Pels. The Mavericks, same exact thing. They're 42-29. They're the 7th seed in the West, 2 games back of the Pels. The Suns, 42-30, 2.5 games back of the Pels. That loss to the Spurs was just devastating for them. Yep. I'll go quickly through these records and these schedules to end out the season. The Suns have 10 games left. Mike, we mentioned. At the Nuggets, at the Thunder, at the Pelicans, first the Cavaliers, first the Timberwolves, versus the Pels, versus the Clippers, at the Clippers, at the Kings, at the Timberwolves. Those are all playoff teams. The Suns, if they go 5-5 in that stretch, I think they'd be okay with it. That's how tough that 10-game stretch is. So 5-5 for the Suns, let's just say that, right? Puts them at 47-35 to end the year. That's not going to beat the Pelicans out. You're looking at the Mavericks. The Mavericks 42-29, same thing with the Kings. The Mavs had two back-to-back games at Sacramento against the Kings. They go to Houston. They go to Golden State. Then they have three straight home games against the Hawks, the Warriors, the Rockets, at the Hornets, at the Heat versus the Pistons, and then at the Thunder. Looking at that schedule, guys, I'm thinking somewhere around 7-4. Really solid. That doesn't get you to 50 wins. Moving on to the Kings, same exact thing. They host the Mavericks back-to-back games. Then they host the Jazz, the Clippers, at the Knicks, at the Celtics, at the Nets, at the Thunder, then at home against the Pelicans, Suns, and Trailblazers. Similar situation, guys. I'm feeling it's around 6-5 for the Kings of those final 11 games. Once again, doesn't get you to 50 wins. So if you're a Pelicans fan and you just want to avoid the play-in tournament, get to 6-5 in these final 11 games. You're guaranteed a spot to avoid the play-in.
What I like about this homestand, Charlie, too, no back-to-backs. Hallelujah.
Yeah. That,
I mean, yeah, it's nice, but it's still tough. Like, once again, people think that, you know, 3-3 would be mediocre for the Pelicans in this homestand.
Look who you're playing.
Look who you're playing. You're playing very, very good teams.
Nice playoff primer for them.
Exactly. And then if you're closing out the year for the Pelicans, yeah, like those five games after the six-game homestand, you're at the Suns, at the Trailblazers. That's, you know, take care of business against Portland. You've owned the Kings this year. You're in Sacramento. You expect to win there. At the Warriors and then at home against the Lakers. So, once again, very realistic that the Pelicans can hit that 50-win mark. And if you do, this is part of my entire rambling is to get to this point. You avoid the play-in tournament.
Okay, Steve, you stole my line because I was going to go with the 7.5 with the Saints, and I think that's in line. But Charlie, I'm going to have you play because this caught my attention for Dennis Allen when he had his presser this morning.
I feel like the addition of, you know, in particular Cedric Wilson gives us a little bit of a veteran presence, somebody that's, you know, kind of been there, done that. So I thought that was a good piece. I certainly think that's an area, you know, in terms of a pass catcher, not necessarily a wide receiver, but a pass catcher is something that we're going to, you know, continue to look at. And I feel better about our depth now than I did a month ago, you know. But I think that's still probably a position that we'll look to see if we can't find somebody to add.
You heard him say it. I'm looking for a pass catcher, not necessarily wideout, right? A wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think he's telling you what he's telling you. Brock Bowers is there. I think they don't pass on him. And again,
even today with the news of Ramchek,
even with that, okay, if you got to go with your board, and yeah, if you have spent all that time, all that money, and he's higher than the best tackle, you got to go with Bowers at that point. Either that or you're cheating yourself because, you can't spend all that time and money on something. And I think the worst thing in life is to make a decision when you're desperate. And that would, if you're passing on a higher rated guy just because you need a spot, you're in trouble. And this draft class, you got tackles later on. Now, Bowers is off the board, and the guy that may put the screws to you is Sean. Because you think about it, if they don't get in a position to get a quarterback, look what Sean did when he was with Saints. He traded two draft choices for Jeremy Shockey. He spent a third-round pick on a guy in Jimmy Graham that had very limited football skills. He was a basketball player.
The Broncos offense doesn't have that many weapons either, Mike.
And Brock would fit there. So if they don't move up, Sean may come back again. And because can you imagine him in that offense? Because Sean knows how to use the tight end. But again, what you heard Dennis Allen say, he didn't come out and tell you, but he told you. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two. James, hold on. We'll take you right after our news break here on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, telling everybody 6:30 tonight, LSU baseball as they play the Lions of Southeastern Louisiana, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. Have the news and come back and finish it up on Sports Talk right after this news break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.